Heard Seattle's homeless shelters don't work for some people. Shelters have curfews, rules about no pets and no partners, and no place to store your things. What if we changed our shelter system and tried to remove some of those barriers? That's what one shelter in San Francisco is doing. Julie Ledbetter directs the Navigation Center. She told KUOW's Bill Radke how that center is doing things differently than how we do them here in Seattle.
The Navigation Center is different in two main ways. One is that we are a very low threshold shelter. So what that means is that we lower all barriers to access that we possibly can. So there's no curfew. People can come and go as they please. They can bring their pets. They can bring their possessions. And they can sleep together with their partners. That's one aspect of it. That's our low threshold approach. The other piece that's critical and sometimes a little bit invisible is the navigation component, which is about coordinating our city systems in order to serve the client. So we streamline access to housing and to benefits, which gives people a huge jump start on the housing process.
Well, if you can accommodate people's partners and pets and possessions, why doesn't Seattle do it? Why doesn't every shelter do that?
It's hard to do. In order to accommodate people's belongings, we have to provide that level of support. So we go out with Public Works and pick up people with all of their stuff. We might, some days when we pull an encampment in, we might have a whole packer truck load full of belongings. And then we store all that stuff in these big containers outside. So we have the space to do that particular accommodation. Other people might not.
Okay, so you have room for people's stuff. How do you handle the obvious problems that come with allowing partners in? It's men and women and partners. Have you had problems with danger, violence, unpredictable interactions there?
I mean, we all have our moments with our partners, so there's definitely, squabbles and arguments, and just like any other subset of the population, it can sometimes get a little complicated, but for the most part, we're providing a very rare service of helping this couple to navigate a system that's really fundamentally designed for single people. And oftentimes it's a lot easier because what you're doing is you're bringing people in the way they want to exist. You're bringing their support network in. So as long as you are creating a space in which you're really helping people solve their problems, they are happy to be here, engaged, and ready to do the work.
How do you let people bring in their pets and still have, still let folks get a good night's sleep?
I was nervous to have such a pet-focused program. I didn't know what that was going to look like. And in the end, it's been one of the easiest things. The pets are very well socialized. They sleep with their owners in their beds. If they have any behavioral issues, we treat it just like any other behavioral issue. We get a ton of support from animal care and control. We offer husbandry clinics. We have muzzles if they need them, cages if they need them. But it's been an aspect that brings a lot more healing and well-being than it detracts in any sort of chaos or things that don't work.
You had Seattle's mayor and city council members come to San Francisco to learn from you. What do we need to learn?
No, I don't know the particulars of Seattle in terms of what their challenges are, but, I can speak to challenges here. And I think some of the barriers in the past for shelters have been policymaking. Some of the policymaking, we've actually encouraged them over the last years to move away from models like this. Sometimes people have been very low threshold models already, and we encourage them to put more rules in place. Some of it is simply having the right resources. So if we want to do a 24-hour shelter, you have to pay for 24 hours. And it's expensive compared to other shelters, but it's necessary because we're helping clients who have been on the streets the longest, who have complex problems, and it's an appropriate intervention, an appropriate use of resources. So there's a lot of constraints that you have to work with, but I think if everybody's committed, you can make it happen. I think it's also just a little bit of fear sometimes, We're very used to certain things, like having gender segregated, a men's floor, a women's floor, things like that. But when you see it in action and you see that it works a different way, it makes all the difference.
We're talking with Julie Ledbetter, who directs this shelter we're talking about called the Navigation Center in San Francisco. where they lower the barriers for entry, the barriers that keep some Seattle homeless folks out of shelters. What have you learned through running this center, Julie?
I have learned that a lot of people out there still think there is this idea of service resistance, where people don't want help or they prefer a homeless lifestyle. And, you know, doing this work for many, many years, I do not believe that, but I had sort of forgotten how many people do believe that. And I think it's the Navigation Center has been a wonderful model to show that it's not about resisting services. It's really about how you design your services and what kind of access you provide to people. And when those things are in place, people are very willing to make major changes in their lives.
Julie Ledbetter is the director of the Navigation Center in San Francisco. In a little more than a year, the shelter has served close to 500 people. Ledbetter says most people, about 4 out of 5 of them, have moved on to more permanent housing. Here in Seattle, officials are looking at whether a shelter like Navigation Center, low barrier, open all day, could work here. And we asked how you would change Seattle's homeless shelter system. Here's what you told us.
My name is Sunita, and I'm calling from Seattle. As someone who had to call repeatedly looking for a bed and never once found one, I think that an app would actually be a great way to solve a lot of problems. If you had an app, people could actually report directly in real time that they have a bed available, and people could receive the information who are in that area.
This is Joanna Shuttler from West Seattle. Why don't we just put some showers, public service and stuff on the outskirts of the jungle? People can go in and out. And then we need to start building lower income housing.
My name is Rebecca Snowlanda. I'm calling from North Seattle. And first of all, we need a lot more shelters. And we need some shelters that allow people to use their drugs until, you know, they're ready to go to treatment.
Some of your ideas about how to improve our shelter system. We'll continue to cover the issue of homelessness here on KUOW, along with the city's largest homeless camp, The Jungle. And we want you to be part of the discussion. KUOW reporter Joshua McNichols and some current and former residents will be at the downtown branch of the Seattle Public Library this Friday evening at 7 for a conversation about the future of The Jungle. You can find more information at our website, kuow.org.